Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action crime thriller, the taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jay Cluett of Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you. I just checked my fake mustache. It's all good. Everything's fine.
Good.
We can proceed.
Good. Just, Make sure it doesn't slip off again.
Sure. I'll do my best.
So episode 3 begins with Green walking through the subway area and waiting for a train, and ends with Bud reciting his instructions. So we ended things yesterday with Green showing up at the subway station, going through the turnstile, feeling very rushed, and now he's walking calmly, and it looks like he's like scratching the box that he's carrying, which looks very funny, the way that he's doing that as he's walking. Maybe the box has an itch. I don't know.
Maybe he's just like adjusting the string on it, maybe.
Maybe. And then once again, he goes and looks at his watch.
Yeah.
And
nervous traveler.
Yes, very. And what's great is then we get a wide shot, and the wide shot has like all these signs around, and you see one that says, you know, 2 Street and Bloomingdale's. And we talked yesterday obviously about Bloomingdale's, but the fact that you know Bloomingdale's is listed in the, you know, in the subway station itself, that if you want to go to Bloomingdale's, this is the way you go. That's pretty impressive.
Well, it's a New York institution at that point, isn't it? It's
apparently,
100 years old.
A little bit more, 110 years, 114 years, something like that. Then we see Green, walking through the whole area. He constantly touches his nose and his mustache, and we see he's going to a place that says to IRT Downtown Local. Now, okay. Do you have any idea what the IRT is and why it says the IRT Downtown Local?
No, I did not think to look that up. Please enlighten me.
Okay, so the IRT is the original subway system that was used in New York. And basically, the subway is in some places layers. So they, you know, they would build other subways, other tracks above and below, and things like that. But they still would continue using the older ones that they had also. So the IRT is the Interborough Rapid Transit Company, and that was the private company that created the original subway line, and they opened it in 1904. And so the New York City bought them out in 1940, but up until then, so you know they still use some of the lines that were used before. So if you have something that's a local, so it means it's a line that's stopping at more stops along the way. It's not an express, and therefore, in this particular situation, you know he's going down to a lower level in order to get on the train back to Pelham Bay Park with the whole thing. I saw it and I'm like, what the hell's an IRT? Because I know that it's MTA, you know, so it didn't make any sense to me. And that's why I had to go look that up, see what they would tell me. And what do you know?
I was like, I was trying to, international rail terminal. I'm just trying to think of like train terminology. But right. Doesn't make any kind of sense. So yeah.
You know how many boroughs there are in New York, right?
Up to 5, I think.
There are 5.
Yeah, I learned that from Gangs of New York.
There you go. The things we learn in movies.
Everything I know, pretty much.
Me too. Me too, and then it sometimes gets me curious and I want to look up more things. But
sure.
The initial information usually comes from there. So, yeah, it's just... and the 6th train, which is the train that this whole movie is going to be taking place on, is one of the original trains from the IRT, which is or train lines. I can't say that that this is the actual train that they used in 1904 or whatever it is. That I couldn't tell you at this point. We haven't reached a point where I've decided to do a little research into the train itself.
Sure, that time
But
will come.
who knows?
So.
I mean, we have talked about trains before, so
And planes and automobiles.
that's right.
Yeah.
And we even found where a train is located. Makes sense. And so then we see that he's getting on the six train, which is the it's known as the Lexington, or he's getting ready to get on the six train, the Lexington Avenue Local, which is also known as the Pelham Bay Park Express. It goes from Pelham Bay Park all the way down to the Brooklyn Bridge, which is known as what's it called? Right, so it goes from the Bronx all the way down to Lower Manhattan to the Brooklyn Bridge City Hall stop. They actually started using this particular train route in 1904, and the they would have different services that were also connected on Lexington Avenue and Broadway and 7th and things like that. So it branched out over the course of the years and stuff like that. And they would constantly keep adding number of trains through rush hour and things like that. So like in 1925, they had 18 different trains going every hour.
Wow.
From Pelham Bay Park all the way down. So, I mean, again, that's a lot of trains.
Yeah.
So
So Pelham 123, Pelham 127, Pelham 131.
yeah, seriously. Let's see, they would have I'm trying to think of if I can find where it says how many they had going at this time of year, or in 1974, but it doesn't say. But no, doesn't really say anything about how many they have now. But in the late 1940s, they actually added the number of cars to the trains. They made it that they used 7 cars instead of 6 cars because it was so packed. So not only is the idea of the number of trains within an hour, but to add the number of cars, for to be able to take more passengers and things like that.
Yeah, I get the train regularly, and I would like my regular trains to do that as well. It'd be nice, because
To run
sometimes
more
it is
often, or
that
to have more cars.
either would be fine. There have been a few times recently. I had a journey recently where I had to spend an hour standing in the toilet because there was nowhere else to sit or stand. There were three of us in there.
Well, okay, you can be happy that there's a toilet.
Sure, I mean, occasionally people would come and try and use it, so we'd have to then just try and all get out of the way and merge into the throng of people
Oh,
waiting outside the door.
seriously? Oh my God,
Yeah,
that's just crazy.
that was a busy
Couldn't just
day.
tell the person, hold it in.
It's a child. It was a parent with a child, and neither one was
Your
willing for that to be an option.
favorite type of people.
Sure. Yeah, it was a half of the trains were not running for some reason, and so it was very much a condensed journey for many people.
I
Fun,
can
fun,
understand.
the fun of commuting.
Yeah, I can understand the can understand how that could be a problem. And so he's just standing there, and as he's waiting for the train to come in, he sneezes,
Does.
and it pats down the mustache and his nose at the same time, making sure that it hasn't fallen off. Obviously, you know, anyone who hasn't seen this movie, it doesn't really know why
he's wearing a disguise.
You know, they don't know he's wearing a disguise. But, you know, for those of us listening, the odds are you've seen this movie and know that that's not a real mustache. Even though I got to say that throughout this movie, the mustaches, the disguises on all these guys, they look real. They look realistic for them. Meaning,
yeah, that's the point.
But it doesn't look fake. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's what. Yeah, but it's. I think that it kind of has to, because if you're waiting for a train, you look up and think, hey, that guy's wearing a fake mustache.
Yeah, but and
there's something's up here.
Yeah, this guy's going to be he wants to hijack the train. I don't think so.
That box is suspiciously gun length.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe not once really. They're on the train and it's like, wait a minute, those two guys at opposite ends of the train both have the same fake mustache, then you might start to think something's up. And they're both carrying gun length box. Yeah, but it's everyone's involved with their own stuff. Everyone's got their own stuff going on, so I don't blame anyone for not catching on that there's a hijack occurring, especially in New York of all places.
Right. Again, do you think it was that common in 1974 that people would be thinking? Oh,
definitely not. Certainly not.
Exactly. You know, nowadays people are more suspicious about those type of things, but back
absolutely.
Then,
yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And then as he's waiting for the train, we see behind him that it says 59th Street. So he's getting on the train at the entrance of 59th Street and Lexington. And so 59th Street is one of the crosstown streets in Manhattan that runs from York on the east side goes all the way to the West Side Highway on the west side. There is an area in the middle that is actually close to where we're talking about here, which is Columbus. It's known as Columbus Circle, and it's known as the Central Park South because it's the southern border of Central Park.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Most of 59th Street is one-way traffic. But parts of Central Park South, it has a section that is bidirectional. So that can be a little confusing, I guess, for people not following signs. But it's basically considered the border between Midtown and Upper Manhattan. And there are people who say that 59th Street stretches across Manhattan like a belt. And basically that the southern part of Central Park makes it look like it's a fancy belt with a buckle. The street obviously is the boundary for Central Park. So again, in Die Hard with a Vengeance, were we at 59th Street? I know he was at 72nd Street. I'm wondering if he... Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I think he went through Columbus Circle. I believe that I was on an episode with Jim where we talked about that he made it through Columbus Circle. So that, it's very possible that he was there.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of media involving New York, but my New York geography is not good.
I can understand.
I don't know where anything is compared to anything else.
Yeah.
Central Park's in the middle.
Right. So, I mean, we've discussed in the past about Central Park Road that when it was developed and at the same time they decided that 59th Street was going to be the southern border of it. And you have the original Plaza Hotel that was located on 59th Street. They had the New York Athletics Club building there, and then Gainsborough Studios. And you know, it's a place where there are a lot of famous places, because again, it is the border, and it's right next to Columbus Circle. That's like a very famous area for people to be trying to, I guess, businesses would gather and businesses are around there and stuff like that. A number of famous buildings that are on that are in this area. You have Bloomberg World Headquarters. You have Trump Park Avenue. You have the General Motors Building. You have the Park Lane Hotel, the Plaza Hotel, the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. There is the Trump Tower is there also on the north corner of Columbus Circle. You have the Time Warner Center. Mount Sinai West is located around there also. And you have the Hudson River Park, which also is in that area. So yeah, it's, they chose the right place for him to come down. So at this point, the train starts pulling up, and Green is looking back and forth, and we can actually see. It's very cool that we're able to tell, how many cars go by, that we know which car he's actually entering in on. Did you notice what car he enters in on?
I did not count.
Okay, so it depends on.
Let's see.
One. He's entering on the front car. That's right.
He's entering the front car. No cars give up. Yeah.
He's entering the first car. That's right. Well,
that makes sense because he's going to want to talk to the driver.
Yes. Yeah. And then at 2:51 into the movie, we finally get someone to talk. That's right. So we have two characters that are here, and the first person who gets to say something is an actor named Walter Jones, who plays Mr. Mattson. He has only 6 IMDb credits, so he must be more of a conductor than a an actor. And he goes, "Okay, kid, out loud now, so I can hear what you're saying." And then we get the response from Bud Cannery, who was played by Jerry Holland, and he also only has a few IMDb credits. He only has 7 IMDb credits. He actually just passed away a little over a year ago, on May 16th, 2024. And he says, "I'm checking the passengers, getting on and off. Front and back. Yeah, shutting the doors. Rear section first, then the front section." So again, I find it very clever that they are explaining this to us, because they're giving us a little bit of a quick explanation as to what the job of the conductor is and why. We'll find out over the next few days, maybe even just the beginning. No, it'll be next week. The real importance of them making sure that this character is one of the first people that they confront.
Yeah, and it's also showing that, because he's explaining what he's doing to someone else, it's showing he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's not experienced in this role at all. Maybe he quits after today. He would have if he had the opportunity to. He doesn't have a good day.
Well, actually, we're talking almost 2 in the afternoon, so he's been through most of his day, probably. But yeah.
Well, it depends. Could be. I mean, this could be the start of his shift. Because he's like the overlap. He's showing Mr. Mattson, "See, I can do what I do," and then Mattson leaves and leaves Bud.
This could be his first
solo shift.
Boy, did you look out.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he's out. Yeah. Yeah.
And as Bud is giving these instructions, this minute ends.
Almost. We do see a guy get stuck in the doors, which has happened to me before.
My brother once told me that he on the London Underground got fined for it.
Oh, I didn't get. I had a backpack get stuck. Because I was wearing a backpack and I got through, but the backpack didn't, and so the door closed between me and the backpack. So I was kind of stuck. I couldn't really, because like arms, they opened the doors again. It was fine, but there was a moment where I was like, I can't move. I'm trapped in here. I can't get out of the backpack. And the backpack can't get out of the train. But it was fine. But yeah, those doors, they've gotten better now. They will close on you. We had a family outing to London once, with my grandparents, parents, me and my sister, and my grandma has always had like ankle issues. She's always been quite slow, and we all went onto autopilot. Like, we gotta catch this train. We all kind of like ran for it, went through the turnstiles and got there. And then we kind of turned around and saw my grandma 20 meters away, kind of like hobbling towards us, and that she like got to the doors as they closed, and so she was just like left on the platform, and the train moved off without her. And it was fine. My dad went back and got her. It was all okay, no problems. But just, I remember just that look on her face, like, oh no. And Detroit, we just the rest of us just like, there's nothing we can do. Bye, bye, grandma. Bye. It's, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, but again, this guy really it makes you wonder if that if they purposely wanted to just show, okay, you know, that this guy's gonna regret later that he got on the train, that he made it.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I can't remember how much Martin Balsam shows up in the next couple of minutes. I just want to say I love how that he has a cold. I for a number of reasons, not the end of the film works really well, but just it's something you don't see very often in films. It's like this character's got a cold, because everyone gets a cold. Everyone there used to be an advert here. I can't remember if it was for like a brand of tissues or cold medicine or whatever, was like, everyone gets a cold and everyone falls in love. It's like a kid going to school and he's like got a bad cold, but it's the day that he like has a crush on his the kid sat next to him. And I feel like this could have been like another way of pitching that advert, like, even criminals get colds, buy our tissues. Like, there's never a good day for it. You could be hijacking a train, you could catch a cold. I just love that it's like Bridge of Spies is another great film with a cold, or like I love Bridge of Spies because you get the progression of a cold over it. Like, you see Tom Hanks' character catch a cold, go through a cold, pass it on to somebody else over the course of the film. It's just I love those little details that you don't see another in that often elsewhere. Like, you would think Hans Gruber had what it
13,
was 13, 12
12
or
and a
13,
half,
I can't
or
remember.
12 12.
People taking a, I know it varied. Yes, one of them must have been, like, statistically one of them probably had something going on
Probably.
illness wise. But they didn't dwell on it. They didn't say, oh yeah, really, he's just getting over from chicken pox. They didn't
Well,
mention it,
in Die Hard
because
2,
not the
someone just
film,
had an
but I love that
appendicitis,
it's here.
so
I love the
yeah.
little inclusion of it. There we go. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm unlucky for the
Not good for
guy
the Alfred.
replacing him.
That's right.
Well, unlucky for everyone, to be honest.
No,
No,
not at
one in
all.
that car had a good day.
All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hijack Hump Day, where my guests will give their favorite top five movies that deal with hijacks.
Sure. A difficult list. A lot of hijack films out there. You will not guess at all my number one is. But I'll check out some honorable mentions. One I've watched fairly recently is The Sugar Land Express, early Spielberg film. I really enjoyed that. Under Siege is a fun one. And I quite enjoyed both Nonstop with Liam Neeson and Plane with Gerard Butler, are two both entertaining plane-based hijack films. But my actual number five, it's kind of give away something later on my list. My number five is a film called Evasive Action, also known as Steel Train. Which no one else will say. It is a film that is a pseudo sequel or remake of Con Air, which, who knows, maybe that'll come up later. Starring
What a surprise.
Dorian Harewood in the Nick Cage role, Roy Scheider in the Malkovich role, and Clint Howard in the Steve Buscemi role. Clint Howard playing a character called the Director who only speaks in movie quotes. It's not a good
Sounds
film.
interesting.
It's kind of a bad film, but it's enjoyable. I watched it because I was on the Exploding Helicopter podcast with Will Slater, It's a good time. It's kind of awful, but I kind of had to put it in there as like a, yeah, let's put that in. Number four, much more serious film, Captain Phillips. I talked about it two seasons ago on your show, for Tom Hanks. Captain Phillips, I think, is fantastic. It's easily one of Tom Hanks' best performances. I don't understand how he didn't win an Oscar that year. But there we are. I think it's great. Number three, a film I'd never heard of before doing Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, but that my co-host Mark loves. It's a film called Deep Rising. Deep Rising is a cruise ship being hijacked. But also, there's a Kraken. It's one of those, like, wait, what's going on here? All kinds of stuff. There's like a hijacking. There's a jewel thief for Famke Janssen. You've got just a small tug ship who kind of gets lump. Just tacked into the whole thing accidentally by Treat Williams. And then, yeah, a Kraken comes along. Fantastic cast in Deep Rising. Incredible jet ski sequences. Just a lot of fun. Number two is this film, Taking Pelham 123. It's great. It's great. It's a great film. And number one, shock horror, Con Air. The only film with hijacking that I have dedicated 40 podcasting episodes to. So it kind of feels like it had to be my number one. Because I love it so much and it's great.
I can understand that.
Yeah. It's
I can.
great.
All right. Excellent. Now we will go back to spin the wheel once again to find out what movie remake we will now discuss for today's Name That Remake. So have
Spin
the wheel
the
spin.
wheel.
So this is the original movie came out in 1979, and the remake came out in 2017. All right, and
Okay.
it's about three retirees that
Going in
decide
style.
that they're very good.
It. Hooray.
Very good. Have you seen both the
No,
original
I've only
and
seen the
the?
remake. I've only seen the remake. Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin.
Yes. Very good. All right, you see, you're getting better at these when it depends on
It depends if I've
what
seen
movie
it
they're
or
watching.
heard of it.
Exactly. Well, you said you've heard of Walking Tall, but you've never
Yeah,
seen it.
but in the same way that I've heard of a bunch of other films of Dwayne Johnson's that I just have no interest in.
Okay. Again, fair enough. I completely understand and agree with that. That's fine.
The Rundown. That's
All
why I got
right.
confused with The Rundown. Sorry.
That's right. So, Jay, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Jay Clewitt?
Sure, it feels appropriate to plug Con Air, the podcast Mark and I did all about Con Air, scene by scene, in which Rob was a guest for one of the chapters. We had a real fun time doing it. We have finished. We did decide not to continue doing Con Air adjacent films. We went back to deeper sea adjacent films. But all those podcast episodes are set out there to listen to and enjoy over on Con Air hyphen the podcast.
Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. So, until tomorrow,
Isn't it?